Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We've been bringing these messages for 19 years now. We thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for this radio station, for all the prayers and provision, and most of all for you, the listener, those of you who have been with us for many years. We praise God for you. We hope you continue to tune in each and every Sunday. And for those of you who are tuned in today for the very first time, we say welcome to you. And we hope you find a blessing here. We hope you're able to receive an instruction, a revelation, a teaching, and you come back each and every Sunday and make this a stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about discerning of spirits. And so this is an important subject. If you're in ministry, if you are a Christian, or even choosing friends or understanding how to pray for people, discerning of spirits or discernment of spirits is very important. And so it's a little bit tied to spiritual warfare that we talked about the last four Sundays, but it is a standalone issue also and is especially important if you are in ministry. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10, and we'll take up this message here in just a minute. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, just want to give a brief update on what's going on here in Kenya. We did a lot of planting this week. In fact, we're still planting today. We planted lots of maize, about a 2-acre patch, and then a bunch of beans. And so we're in the rainy season, what they call the short rains here in Kenya. And so we're looking forward to good harvest. We'll be harvesting our maize and beans in November or so. And so that's one of the blessings of being in a tropical country. You get two crops of corn, two crops of beans every year, so it helps to feed the population. And we get a short rain season in the fall this time of year, then a long rain season in the spring from March until June. And so the children are getting ready to go back to school on Monday. And so we pray for the safety of the children. Most of them walk back and forth. A few of them have a boarding school situation where they stay, but most of them are walking back and forth. So we pray for their safety and for a good school season for them. Well, today we're going to be talking about discerning of spirits or discernment of spirits. And this comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you are a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God residing in you, the counselor, the paraclete, the advocate, the intercessor, the Holy Spirit. And coming with that Holy Spirit is gifts given to you. And in 1 Corinthians 14, 10, it says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits or discernment of spirits. Well, what does that mean, discerning of spirits? What discerning of spirits is, in a nutshell, is being able to discern the demonic spirits that cause certain people's behavior, cause certain behaviors in people. And when you encounter people that you don't know, it's very important that you be able to pick up quickly the spirits that are operating behind them. And this goes back to the spiritual warfare idea that Paul introduces in Ephesians 6:12, where he says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is against powers and principalities, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places and rulers of darkness. And so there's four different levels of the hierarchy of the devil's kingdom. And so when we encounter people, everybody, just about everybody, has demonic oppression, not demonic possession. Christians, I don't believe, can be demonically possessed, but Christians can be demonically oppressed. And this is a work of sanctification for any believer to get the demons out of their life, to push the demons out so that they don't harass them and don't possess them. And you're going to be tempted by demons. You're going to be harassed, even if you are a believer and you're born again and you're living a very good Christian walk. You're going to be harassed. You're going to be tormented. And there are certain things in your behavior that can be pinpointed that are caused by oppression from the enemy. And harassment and oppression cause people to do certain things. You might see familiar spirits in families that have been with you, handed down through the generations in your family, not through the bloodline, but through the familiar spirits of demonic oppression and demonic possession that have occurred in your family. And so discernment of spirits is simply to rely on the Holy Spirit to be able to discern what spirits are operating in people that you come in contact with. And so it's very important as a believer, especially if you're in ministry, to be able to get a summary, you might say, or an assay of the spirits that are operating in people. And from that, you can make your judgment about how you want to deal with them, what you want to minister to them, how you want to approach them. And if you're a baby believer out there today, just a new Christian, it's important for you to understand that people's behavior is determined and guided by oppression from demonic spirits. Well, Paul spoke about that as a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so you need to practice when you deal with people. You need to practice making a judgment about them. You don't have to speak it out to other people, but you can understand it for yourself and put it into practice in your own life. And John, the Apostle John, in 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Well, that's good advice for us today. There's many false prophets, not just people that call themselves prophets, but people that speak over your life, people that claim to be Christian that may not, people that claim to be some kind of authority over your life, and they have no authority. And so John says, don't believe every spirit. In other words, when people speak to you or you see them in action, judge those spirits. Judge those spirits. Test the spirits, which is another way to say judge the spirits, whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, obviously, if you test the spirits and you find out they're not from God, who are they from? They're from the devil. There's only two places that spirits come from. They either come from the devil and his kingdom, the powers and principalities, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's one set of spirits that you interact with every day. It's also you interact with them through the computer, through the television, through music, ways that you interact with the world. And then the other set of spirits is the Holy Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that you have abiding with you if you are a believer. Well, verse 2, 1 John 4:2, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Verse 3, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." Well, let me just say that the spirit of the Antichrist is the same spirit that will be in the true Antichrist at the end of the age. There is coming a man on the face of the earth. I don't believe he's here now because I don't believe Jesus is near to coming back yet, but I'm not making any predictions about that. But I don't believe that the true Antichrist has burst onto the scene yet. I believe there are people that we can pinpoint, or people we can look at and say they have the spirit of the Antichrist. And this is the way you can know: every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. That's why when you want to know if somebody is born again, you ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? And if they say yes, praise God, they're born again. If they say no, they are not born again. They might be something, they might be a good person, they might be somebody that you can look up to as far as their status in community, or their status in politics, or their status in your work situation, that they are not born again. And so they are not from God. They are from the Antichrist. And eventually, those people who are not born again, those people who cannot confess to Jesus Christ as being their Lord and Savior, and that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, if they can't confess to that, eventually their behavior will expose them. Eventually their behavior will be revealed, and you will know then that they are with the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, this is very important as we think about the candidates who are running for president of the United States, vice president of the United States, or even local offices, that you assay and survey those people and ask yourself, what are the spirits? Who are the spirits who are driving the behavior of these people? Do they confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Well, as we think about the two candidates of the election coming up, it's pretty obvious to me which ones confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and which ones are just quote unquote good people or happy people or whatever. It's pretty obvious from the parties, the platforms of the parties, which ones are committed to serving God through the platforms of the political parties, which ones reveal their heart and their confession of faith, which platforms reveal the confession and their alignment with the Spirit of God and their alignment with the kingdom of God. Well, you pray about it, because I'm not going to say the name right now. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but you just pray about it and ask the Lord to reveal to you who the candidates are that express Jesus Christ as their Lord, and which candidates then the platforms that they speak for, the platforms that they stand on, which candidates reflect the kingdom of God in their life and in their political office. Well, as we go on studying about discernment of spirits, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he is in Macedonia, and he is preaching, and this is a very interesting story because it talks about the spirit of divination, or the discerning of this spirit of divination in this young girl that was following the Apostle Paul around. And this girl followed them around, and it was a very strange situation because she was saying the right things with her words, but her actions were annoying the Apostle Paul. So we'll take this up here, verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. Well, what is a spirit of divination? Divination is discerning, trying to discern truth, or trying to discern answers for your life that do not come from the Holy Spirit of God. If you are a born-again believer, you have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Paraclete residing in you. He abides in you and with you, and you can trust him to give you answers in every situation. He is a person, the person of the Trinity. He is the person, the Spirit of God, and he can give you the answers that come from the mind of God. And the spirit of divination is a worldly spirit, and it includes many different ways. People check the I Ching. People call the psychic hotlines every day, the 900 numbers. People read their horoscopes in the paper. People check the shaking of the livers or throwing dice, or there's a thousand, a lot of teenagers go to parties and they end up playing with a Ouija board, try to get answers for their life. And so there's a lot of different ways that people try to get answers and try to get revelation for their life regarding their finances, regarding their love life, regarding their work, regarding every aspect of their life. The devil can give you answers, just like the Holy Spirit of God can also give you answers. But it's important for you not to dabble in any of these types of divination. If you read your horoscope every day in the paper, stop doing that. Repent. If you are talking with the dead, which is necromancy, if you are doing anything to try to discern answers for your life that does not rely on the Holy Spirit of God, repent of that. Repent of that. Ask the Lord to forgive you and stop it. Get rid of those I Ching sticks. Get rid of the Ouija board. Get rid of everything that does not rely on the Holy Spirit of God. And stop relying on the devil to give you instruction for your life, because eventually when you open yourself up to the devil and ask the devil to give you instruction in that way, at some point in time, he's going to ask you for more and more. He'll ask you for a blood offering. And this is the way witch doctors work here in Africa. They get you to open up to them, and eventually they will come for your life. Eventually they will come to kill you. And if you try to get out, beloved, you're going to be asked to give up a lot. You're going to be in a battle for your life. And so Paul is preaching, and this girl is following them. She has a spirit of divination. And so she understood, because she was working with the devil, she understood that Paul and his companions were speaking for Jesus Christ. And so this girl followed Paul, and she cried out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Well, you have to be very careful when people flatter you all the time. Here's a couple of scriptures from the book of Proverbs, talks about flattery. Proverbs 20, verse 19. "He who goes about as a talebearer," or in other words, a person who passes gossip around or passes tall tales around, "he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him who flatters with his lips." And then in Proverbs 26:28, "A lying tongue hates those who are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin." And so you have to be very careful about people who flatter you all the time. Generally speaking, when that happens, it's okay to give a compliment. It's okay to encourage people and to give praise where praise is due and encouragement where encouragement is due. But when people are all the time flattering you, I have people come up to me all the time, "Oh, man of God, man of God, man of God." And it's okay once in a while. It's okay occasionally. But when somebody does it all the time and you understand and know that it is a spirit of flattery, and they're just trying to work their way into you so they can get something from you. That's what usually happens to me here in Kenya. People have an ulterior motive when they flatter me. They just want to get into my inner circle so that they can get money from me or get something from me without having to work for it or some other way that is more legitimate. They just want me to somehow gush on them. And so they gush to me in starting off a conversation or starting off a relationship. And so that points to me right away that spirit of flattery is oftentimes has a motive of ruin behind it. And so in verse 18, it said, "This girl followed Paul and Luke for many days." She did this for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the Spirit came out of her at that very hour. Well, Paul wasn't fooled. He knew there was something wrong with the spirit in this girl. He knew that even though the words sounded right, he became greatly annoyed because she kept following them for many days. That's very peculiar there, right there. Why would she follow them around if she wasn't really interested in their message? And so he was greatly annoyed, and he turned and said to the spirit. In other words, the Bible says that he spoke to that spirit that was in her. He wasn't speaking to her mind. He wasn't speaking to her body. He spoke to that demonic spirit that was speaking out, "Oh, these are the servants of the Most High God." And so that spirit then, Paul had the authority, he had the power, because he was closely walking with Jesus Christ. He had the authority and the power to cast that spirit out, and it came out that very hour. Well, verse 19, when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Well, that's a good teaching point for us here today. Anytime you encounter demonic spirits, anytime you encounter people that are behaving on behalf of the devil and behaving in a peculiar way, and they try to come into your life and you're doing the work of God, be careful, because there's going to be an uprising when you upset their apple cart, when you come into their life or they come into your life and they are promoting the kingdom of the devil and they're promoting activities. Generally speaking, when people are walking with the devil, there's lots of money, a filthy lucre that goes with it, dealing drugs, selling alcohol, selling all kinds of pornography. All this kind of stuff has a tremendous amount of money circulating around it. You think about the people coming in illegally through the southern border. The cartels in Mexico are making hundreds of millions, probably billions of dollars off of these people, their trek coming in, and the drug sales that go with them. Many of them are recruited into being drug dealers here in the United States. They're recruited into trafficking women. That's why it's very important that you pay attention when you're in unfamiliar surroundings. Even when you're in familiar surroundings, pay very close attention to who's around you, because girls are getting snatched, boys are getting snatched. There's all kinds of people getting snatched. It happens here in Kenya also. But the point is, there are billions of dollars swirling around these activities through drug sales, through human trafficking, through paying the cartel coyotes to bring the people up over the border. And so when you interrupt anything that the devil is doing, corruption is the number one enemy of the country of Kenya. It's the number one enemy of the people of Kenya. When you interrupt anything that the devil is doing and cast those demons out of people, you're in for a battle, because the devil loves his program. He loves all that money. He wants all that money so he can continue with his activities. The government of the devil is always trying to expand. That government is trying to get bigger and bigger and bigger, so it requires lots of money. And so that is what happened here. Paul and Silas interrupted this program of this young girl. And so the masters of this girl seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates, verse 30, and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Well, that is a typical response when you interrupt the program of the devil. And so when you are praying for people, expect a backlash from the devil. When you interrupt a people's program regarding drug sales or drug interdiction You can expect a backlash from the drug dealers when people try to come out of the cartels. Many times they get killed. That's why in Mexico you see six people hanging from a bridge or something such as that. There are people that have dealt with the cartels. There are people that have dealt with the drug dealers, and they tried to come out or they turned on them in some way. And so they paid for it with their life. And so the important thing here is that Paul recognized this demonic spirit was driving this girl's behavior. The words that she was speaking, they sounded good. They weren't the words of God. And so discernment of spirits, again, is to recognize when the devil is driving somebody's behavior as opposed to when the Spirit of God is driving people's behavior. When the Spirit of God is driving people's behavior, they will readily confess Jesus Christ as their Lord. They will readily confess God as the supreme being, the supreme power, the supreme authority over their life. They will readily confess that the Holy Spirit is with them and they have the counsel of the Holy Spirit, and their words and their actions point to the fact that they are serving the living God. Their words and their actions point to the fact that they understand Jesus died on the cross for them. Jesus shed his perfect, precious blood for them. And so their life is under the authority of Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Well, today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I suggest you get down on your knees, pray, 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 ask the Lord to come into your life, ask the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. He is ready and willing to be your Lord. He is ready and willing. His blood has been shed. He has no more work to do. All you have to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he rose from the dead. For with the heart you believe, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. And you will be saved, follow it up with Christian baptism, and you are on your way to a beautiful walk with the Lord. If you make that decision today, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we'll get you some information and some literature to get you started on your Christian walk. Well, Gather the Outcasts is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We hope you would come alongside this ministry, help support this ministry. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, include prayer requests if you have them, and we would be happy to get some information to you, some literature to you, to help you on your Christian walk. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.